Aren't you glad? You know, I have heard, seen, been there myself. A lot of times we try to do everything ourselves. And the best thing you never realize is you can't do a thing without the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm glad this morning, no matter where you're at, and I mean it, wherever you're at, the Bible says he went down to that deepest pit, picked me up out of that pit, set my feet upon a rock. And that's what he'll do for you. I couldn't get out of that pit. I tried. It's easy to try to be good, isn't it? I didn't say I was good. I said I was trying to be good. I knew what the church, I grew up in church. I knew what the church said I was supposed to be. But just being what the church says I was supposed to be don't make me what I was supposed to be. But I'm thankful for that new birth. And I'm glad this morning, whatever your needs are, he'll come. He's faithful. He's always on time. And I promise this morning, if you'll let him, he'll help you this morning. Appreciate the good song this morning. Take your Bibles with us to the book of James this morning, the book of James. And again, if you don't have a copy of the Word of God in front of you, I sure would like to encourage you to find the Bible there in your pew. Follow along with us this morning, looking at the book of James this morning, James chapter 4. And then when you found James chapter 4, put your finger there and then find Luke chapter 12 this morning. Two places. We'll be going to other places, but those are the two main places this morning, James chapter 4 and Luke chapter 12. I think I say this every year while you're turning. I'll say it again. I know, and I'm not making light of it, it's dangerous, the heat that we've been having. But I always used to like use opportunities like this when I worked at Freightliner. And guys would say, well, it's hot as hell. And I'd look at them and say, I wish. If hell was just 106 degrees, hell wouldn't be too bad. 106 degrees, don't even begin to think of what hell's like. I like to always turn around and use it for an opportunity to witness to somebody. So encourage you to do that. James chapter 4 this morning, if you found your place and you can, let's stand together this morning out of honor and reverence to the Word of God this morning. Let me say this as we're standing. I opened up this morning there in Ephesians, talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And this is the burden that's been on my soul the last couple of days. And I ponder back on things over the last 14 years here. Prior to that, 2 years up in Taylorsville. Prior to that, lifetime at Friendship. Think of all the things that I've seen happen to people. Things that people have gone through. People that have trusted the Lord to get them through life, and they continue to serve the Lord. But then my mind goes to many people, good people, probably saved people, that have had something come into their life that just blowed them out of the water. They quit on God. They decided to choose another path, and today they're not even close to serving the Lord. And it bothers me. I think about what should I have done? What could I have done? But I tried to tell the folks this morning, we meet every Sunday at 9:30 to pray for our services. I encourage you to come if you can. But I told our folks there, you know, you're going to spend about an hour, maybe two, maybe three on a Sunday at church. Some of you will even come back on Wednesday night and spend another hour. At the most, you're going to spend probably 4 to 5 hours at a church service in a period of a week. That will not do you. I cannot give you everything that you need to get through this life. All I can do is try to encourage you, try to point you, try to push you in the right directions. I promise every one of you this morning, we're in a battle. And God warns us not just to put on some, but to put on the whole armor of God. And I want to encourage you to get back in the book. Get back in there and serve the Lord with all your heart. Don't take it for granted. Don't lay to the side. Don't give in to this world. And I promise you, God will get us through this world. I promise you that. Has nothing to do with today's service, but something that's been on my heart. But let's look at what God has for us today here in the book of James. James chapter 4 this morning. Let's begin reading this morning in verse number 13. The Bible says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that or that. Verse 16, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Sure thank you, Lord, for the good songs that stirred our soul today. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship and the spirit that we feel. God, thank you for this book this morning, God, that you've given to us to be able to read, to study. God, to be able to arm ourselves through this life, God, to be able to walk in such a world such as this. And God, Lord, just to be light and salt, Lord, and I pray, God, today you'd have your way here in this service. God, I pray, Lord, that we'd get out of the way, Lord, that we'd surrender ourselves, Lord, to whatever, God, that you would have for our lives. And God, I do thank you, Lord, once again for that blessed hope. God, we sure are looking. God, it could be any day, Lord, but until then, help us to abide. God, help us to be steadfast, unmovable. Help us to always be abounding, Lord, and we'll thank you, we'll praise you for what you do here in this place, Lord, for us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You'll be seated this morning. Again, I hope you found Luke chapter 12. We'll be there in just a moment. But let me just spend just a little bit of time here in James before we get into what we're going to see there in Luke. The Bible tells here as we look, as the Lord gives us something to think about, and that's life. And God tells us here that, you know, a lot of people, and I'm going to say a lot of us, I know this morning, and I really do, I try to do some planning. I try to look down the road just a little ways and put some things in order. But everything that I do or try to do or put into my mind is, if the Lord will. I don't really know what tomorrow holds, and neither do you. I really don't know what this afternoon holds. If everything goes the way I think it will or the way I feel like it will, I'm going to go to the hospital, make a few visits, and then I'm going to come back here and get ready for a deacon's meeting. Then I'm going to come in here and preach this evening, and then I'm going to the house. That's sort of what my day feels like. But you know, it could change at any moment. It could be a phone call that knocks us out of the water. It could be an accident. I thought about as we traveled back home yesterday, I was thinking about how many opportunities there could have been for tragedy to hit my home. And again, you can't live in that spot, but I believe it's a spot that each of us need to realize, as God tells us, life is short. Hello? Here we are. I can't believe it. I know you young people don't see it, but I promise you that if you live long enough, you'll be our age. You think, I can't believe it's already the end of July. This year is flying. Time has really got away from me. Before we know it, another year is going to click in if God allows us to see another year. And things just continually get faster and faster and faster. And God tells us that truth about life. Life is short. God describes it as a vapor. A vapor of steam. If you can picture in your mind as that water begins to boil and that steam, you can see that smoke begin to billow up out of that pot and you can watch it as it comes up. And it's gone. That's how my life is. God has given me 50 years of life and my steam pot has begun to get a little less and less. I don't know when that smoke will disappear. I don't know when that last little glimpse of life will be able to be seen upon this earth. But I'm aware of the fact that life is short. But let me say this morning, and I don't mean to be again a down type person. I don't want to make you feel that way. But friend, let me tell you, you don't have to be old to die. I tell people when this conversation comes up, I've buried them from stillbirth. I've buried them to 100 years old and many places in between. You go with me to the hospital this afternoon. You go with me to a nursing home. I promise you we'll see people of all ages. And life is becoming shorter and shorter to each one of them. See, this morning as we sit here and we think about our lives, and most of us, I would say, probably have a little bit of ambition. There's something in our lives we'd like to see accomplished. We were talking, again, my wife got to come home and we got to spend some time together. We sort of just disappeared for a few days to get back to talking, be able to get our lives caught back up. And so it's been good. And we begin to think about our children, as we saw other people with their children. And we begin to reminisce on how our children used to be like that, and now we've got grandbabies like that, and we used to think about our lives, and boy, I couldn't wait to see my children grow up. I couldn't wait to see them graduate. I couldn't wait to ponder the day that they would get married, and thank God I just had one daughter, and praise the Lord, it's over. I'll never have to do that again. What do you mean? You've never had a daughter? It's something about this wedding thing. Praise the Lord. It's past. That marker is behind us. But to think about the years of our life and all that we've seen God do and accomplish and all the things that we've seen and just the thought this morning of life. And again, God tells us that most people would say, you know, I'm going to do this coming year. Or I'm going to do that. And God reminds us that that's not the way we should be. That, again, I'm not saying we shouldn't do some planning, but again, it all boils down to the formula of the thought that God says, if it be the Lord's will. See, this morning, your ambitions and your goals can quickly fade away and change. One heart attack, one stroke, one accident. Well, I didn't think I'd ever be in this place. Nobody ever thought they would be in that place. That's just life. And God tells us it's like a vapor. And that we need to understand that God is the one that directs our life. So this is the question that God has put upon my heart this morning for this service. And I want you to think just for a moment. Now listen, the Bible says it's appointed to every man to die once. I'm glad I'm not going to die but one time. I'm glad I'll never see that second death. I have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a good possibility, and I know the Lord could come today. I understand that. I'm looking for it. I'm thinking about it. We had a storm come up yesterday at our house, and I think, boy, there's some clouds. That could be the one. But He didn't. And God allowed me to go to bed last night, and God allowed me to wake up this morning, and God allowed me to come to church one more time. But one of these days is going to be my last day. I don't know when that's going to be. It could be today. This could be the last day that I will ever breathe air on this earth. My thought for you this morning is a question that many people have thought about. Many people have even asked that question. There's even been songs wrote about this question. And this is the question I believe God has for you this morning and for me. If you knew you had one day to live, what would you do? Well, preacher, I would do this and I would do that, and I just want you to put that in process right now. If you knew the day was your last day, what would you do? Many people would say, man, I would go eat a nice meal, or man, I would go do this, or boy, I'd like to go to another place in this world and see something, you know. If this was my last day, what would you do? Oh, I'd go get me a credit card and max it out, Brother David. Let my youngins pay for it. That's the American way. Man, we'd get us a credit card, get us about a $10,000 limit on that thing, and we could blow $10,000 in about 30 minutes. That's about it. No, but you. What would you do if you knew today was your last day? Now, I know, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, but I know where we're at this morning. We're at church. And I know that our flesh will say, let's be spiritual for a moment. Well, you know, if I knew, I'd do this for God. Would you? If you didn't do it yesterday, guess what? You probably ain't going to do it today. Why? Because yesterday could have been your last day. Because nobody knows when that day is. If you don't live your life every day like it is the last day, you're never going to live for God like you ought to live. Yeah. Well, preacher, what do you mean? What would you do? Well, let's go look at a man in Luke chapter 12 that we see his last day. Luke chapter 12 this morning. Again, the question. If today was your last day, what would you do? One day to live, what would you do? And again, most people, especially in the worldly sense of things, they would look at all the things that they could suck into their life in just a split second of time. You think about it. Oh, I'm going to get that $10,000 credit card and boy, I'm going to blow it out and have fun. But that's all about you. Well, I'm going to go do this. Well, that's all about you. But it's my last day. This is what I want to do. What would you do if it was your last day? Again, the fact is, no man knows how long they're going to live. But let's look at a man that we find his last day. Look with me in Luke chapter 12. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "And he, being the Lord, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful." Now I'm going to do a little preaching as we go. Here we find a rich man. And the Bible says that his ground brought forth plenty. Now I know this morning every one of us would probably say that there's a lot of things we'd like to have. But to be honest with you, I don't know how much money you have in your bank. I don't know what you're living is like, but I can promise you this morning that every person in this building is highly blessed. When you look at the world in comparison to where you are, you are highly blessed. So we find here a man that God says was rich, and we're rich. We really are. And the Bible says not only was he rich, but look what happened. His life was going well. Verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he, the rich man, thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, notice those two words. Anything different there? One of them's what? A small S. The other one's what? A capital S. Wonder why? I think most of you know. And I will say to my soul, this is him speaking, soul, because you have a soul. You're made up of a soul, a spirit, and a body. What the Bible tells us. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now here's a man that is probably like most people today that we know. Here's a man that feels like health's going well. He feels like his life is truly blessed. He's having more abundance than he ever could dream of. He's looking at life thinking, boy, I got it made. Things are just rolling great. He says, the Lord, and it amazes me how people that are, things are going well, boy, God's really blessed me. Probably God didn't have anything to do with it. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But life just keeps increasing, and boy, you're getting the job, increases at work, and you're moving up that ladder, and boy, you're just thinking, boy, everything's good, and everything's great, and here's this man as he's sitting back there in the house, in his lazy boy, his feet thrown up, a cup of glasses, southern tea there, that sweet tea on the side, a big old 60-inch TV screen sitting up there watching TV. His feet thrown up, and he began to ponder his life. What am I going to do? I got more stuff than I got places to put my stuff. I know what I'll do. I'll tear all that down. And I will build bigger. And I will be greater. and I will show forth more. I'm trying to show you a word or a part of those verses that are so pronounced. I, me, my. He's eat up with what? Himself. And he says, I've got so much, and man, I've got so much that I can just sit back at ease and eat, drink, and be merry for years, he even says. But let's see what God says. Verse 19 again, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But then comes an uh-oh in his puzzle. But God. See, he didn't factor in that thought. He didn't factor in that he was not able to control his own life. His heart beat and he had no control. His lungs brought in air and he had no control. But he could build bigger barns and show forth more goods and eat, drink, and be merry. But God, verse 20, said unto him, and this is, I believe, as he spoke to him, I believe God is speaking to you and I this morning. Thou fool. It's bad when God would call you a fool, wouldn't it? What does the Bible describe as a fool? The Bible says a fool says there is no God. Oh, preacher, I'd never say that, but do you live that way? Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, notice, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Here again is a man that's rich and plenteous and a man that looks and thinks, man, this thing's going well. Look, I got me a new Cadillac. I got me a new this. I got me a new that. Boy, I'm going to build a bigger barn so I can have more stuff. And when I get more stuff, then I can have more stuff. And when I get more stuff, I can have even more stuff. And that's his mentality of life. That's his mentality. But what did James say? James said, life is like a vapor. Who can say what he'll do this year or that year? But God said, tonight. See, this man had one more day to live, but actually he had less than a day. He's on the last part of his day. So what would you do if you knew you had one day to live? Well, this man shows forth he thought more of gain than he did God. He thought more about himself and what he could do for himself than he ever did for God. Did you hear him mention God at all? All he mentioned was himself. So he thought more of himself than he did God. This man even thought more of pleasure than he did others. He sat down at his own house thinking of all the things that he could have and do. Never one time did we hear him think of anybody else. This man also thought of ease as he sat there, as the Bible even says. He said to his soul, take thine ease, verse 19, eat, drink, be merry. He thought more of ease than he did eternity. So this man, his perspective is, I'm afraid, like most people today. He didn't know that morning when he woke up that the day was going to be his last day. But guess what? God says today is your last day. See, this morning, nobody knows what day that is, but let me tell you, friend, that day's coming. And we ought to live our life in such a way, I believe, that every day it ought to be in our thought process that this could actually be my last day. The Bible says this in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 and 7, says, for what shall a man profit? Or for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This man had everything he thought he needed. This man, the Bible says, had plenty. This man said he was rich. But tonight, God says your soul is going to be required. The bank account no longer mattered. The barns no longer mattered. His stuff no longer mattered. His life was coming to an end. Look at me one other place and we'll close out this thing of thought if you had one more day to live. Look at me over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 38. You can find this in Isaiah 38 verse 1 and also in 2 Kings 20 verse 1. If you had one more day to live, if you knew the day was the day, what would you do? Here's God's response. Isaiah chapter 38, look at verse number 1. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. Now listen, most people will hear me and think, he don't know nothing. Even people listen to a doctor and say, he don't know nothing. But I wonder what you say when God says something. God told Hezekiah here by the prophet Isaiah, he says, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. If you had one day more to live, how would you spend it? What would be the most important thing to you? And again, go beyond your spiritual halos this morning sitting inside of a church house. What if it was Monday was your last day? What if Monday, and I'll use my family, my uncle, I can still remember this like it was yesterday. My uncle Mike, he worked for the prison system. He was a guard. He was a road guard. Him and his family didn't go to our church. They went to another church. We were having homecoming that Sunday. My Uncle Mike showed up for homecoming to surprise my grandmother. Him and his family came, and I remember as clear as a bell in my mind. We were standing outside the church house and talking, and my Uncle Mike looked and said, you know, I got to go back out on the road as a guard. I don't really want to go. I hate that. The next day, my Uncle Mike gets up that morning, as he did every morning during the week. He told his wife goodbye, kissed her, went into every bedroom of his house where his daughter lived or stayed and where his son stayed. Looked at them, told them he loved them, said goodbye, went to work. Loaded up a group of prisoners, went out on 77 down towards Mooresville, doing what he'd done. Standing there that day, holding a shotgun, watching prisoners pick up trash on the side of the road. A tractor trailer, an axle came out from under a tractor trailer, went up an embankment, down the embankment, hit him in the back of the head and killed him right there on I-77. He never came back home. He never got to tell his wife he loved her one more time. He never got to see his children grow up. He never seen his daughter walk down that aisle. He never seen his children graduate. Why? Because that was his day. His last day. He didn't know it, and guess what? You don't know it. But if you had one more day to live, God says, set your house in order. Is your house set in order today? See, most of us this morning are like me. I ain't planning on dying today, are you? I don't see anybody in here that woke up today and said, oh, today's the day. I'm going to go step out in front of a bus. No, most of us got up this morning planning on living our life. Thinking we have another day tomorrow, another day tomorrow, and another day after that. But guess what? Every second that we've sat in here this morning, somebody's day has ended. And one of these days, that's going to be my day. I will breathe my last breath. So if I had one more day to live, what would be what I'd want to do? The first thing and the most obvious thing, if this was your last day, I'd say set your house in order by being saved. Amen. The greatest thing you'll ever do to set things in order, and that's the only way it'll ever be in order, is that you get saved. Amen. See, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. The Bible says that there's none righteous. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. This morning, you must be saved, Jesus said. So the first thing to set our houses in order is to say, I'm saved. Can you say that this morning? John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Paul said it like this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Paul says, that's life. You're going to have troubles. Paul said, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What if today was that day? What if today you died? Are you ready? Paul says, I know who I believed in. I'm glad this morning, according to the Bible, that we can know, according to 1 John, that we have eternal life. See, that's one of the things that every day, not knowing if this is my last day, I can go through my day rejoicing in the fact that I'm not going to die. The second death. So this morning, to set my house in order, the first thing I ever did to set this thing in order was to get saved. Today, if this was your last day, I sure would make sure you were saved. I'm not trying to get you to doubt. I'm not trying to get you to come up here and make another profession. I want you to know. And friend, this morning, if you don't know, I'd wonder about you. Salvation is something that ought to be nailed down in the depths of your soul that no matter what comes, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you're saved. You know, also, I believe that if today was my last day, I'm thankful that I do know that I'm saved. This isn't my notes, but I'll just throw this in here. I want her to know that I'm saved. I want my children to know that I'm saved. I don't want there to be any doubt that when somebody comes by and says, well, that don't look like him. Boy, he was sure swell, wasn't he? People tickled the far out of me. I told my wife she won't do it, I know. Two things. I want the whole casket open. I want my hands like this. And I want my feet uncovered. You ever seen anybody in a casket with their feet uncovered? I want to be different. Walk by. Yeah, that's odd. Boy, he sure lost a lot of weight, didn't he? Yeah. Whoever done his makeup didn't do a very good job. No. Did you see his hair? People tickle me. I'm at a lot of funerals. I listen to people at funerals. People at funerals say some of the weirdest, my wife said the right word, I was scared to say it, dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. But one of the things that I hear a lot at funerals, well, at least old Joe's in a better place. And then I'm thinking in the depths of my soul, is he? I'm not his judge, but is he? Joe didn't have any used for God when he was alive. Joe cursed and cussed and carried on and run around on his wife and beat his kids and drunk like a fish. And so we're going to get up and sing, oh, how Joe loved Jesus. Why? Because makes everybody feel better. Surely old Joe got to heaven because all dogs go to heaven. That's what Disney said. But is it? I don't want my family to have to stand up here and wonder, well, Daddy's in a better place. No, I want them to rejoice and say, praise the Lord, that blessed hope.
Yes, sir.
Because Daddy is in heaven.
Amen.
If this was my last day, I'd want everybody to know where I was.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about me. You're the one who got more troubles. Mine's over.
Yeah.
If this was my last day, I sure would want to know that I was saved. Second of all, if this was my last day, I'd want to be right with God.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people that are saved, but they ain't living for God. I'm not saying get your life right for salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. You get saved by a new birth. But friends, you're going to stand before God.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But friend, there's a judgment seat before I get there. This was my last day. I sure would want to be right with God when I died. I don't remember who it was. One of the men, I don't remember who it was. We was talking some of the messages I preached. He made this statement. I don't remember. I can't quote it verbatim, but this is basically what he said. And these two young ladies right here in the next month or so, they're going to have a beautiful white dress on, or a beautiful dress, and a dress like they've never wore before on their wedding day. Can you imagine them showing up with that beautiful dress on with mud all over it? That's not how a bride would show up to their wedding, would they?
No.
Well, friend, this morning I'm the bride of Christ. I want to show up clothed in His righteousness. So if this was my last day, I sure want to make sure I was doing something for God. First of all, I'd want to make sure I was saved. Are you saved? Second thing, if this was your last day, I'd want you to be living for God, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Last of all, this morning, if this was my last day, I'd spend every moment of it trying to tell everybody, you need to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
See, we only have one life to witness for Christ. I don't know how many days I've got. I don't know how many more opportunities I'll have, but this will be the only life I ever live for God. What have you done with it? See, the Bible tells us of another man. He had a last day too. Look there in Luke chapter 16. Let's look at one more man. I'm done. Actually, there's two men here to be looked at. The Bible says in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gates full of sores. See, it doesn't matter rich or poor, death's still coming. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. When you die, which one of those will you be? I'm thankful that whenever it is, laying in a bed somewhere taking my last breath, or hitting a car wreck and taking my last breath, or having a heart attack, walking out of the church in a moment and taking my last breath, can I tell you something? Before I hit the ground, I promise you, the God in heaven will already have me by His hand.
Amen.
And I'll be out of here.
Amen.
See, Lazarus died and was carried away into the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died also. But what happened to him? He was buried. Let's look at him. Verse 22, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of a finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Boy, it didn't take long, did it? He died and in hell he lifted up and was in torment and thirsty. Abraham said in verse 25, Son, remember that thou in thy life receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now, see, there's the key. What's going to be your but now? On your last day, when you take your last breath. But now, he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. See, even if they wanted to, they couldn't. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If you had one more day to live, what would you do? I'd be sure I was saved. I'd be sure everybody knew I was saved. I'd be sure I was right with God. And last of all, I would tell everybody, you must be born again. Even here, the rich man in hell wanted somebody to witness to his family. Don't wait till you're dead because you'll wait too long. This could be your last day. Have you told anybody that they need to be saved? The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 9, it's appointed man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. You're going to stand before God. But once you're there, it's too late. What's done is done. Today could be our last day. I don't know. But I can tell you I'm going to have a last day. What if the rapture comes? It's my last day. Hallelujah. But I might not see the rapture in my life. But I will see death one day. I know, nobody likes to think about it. We all live like James 4 there. We're just going to eat, drink, be merry, and live our life. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. But one day is going to be your last day. And it might be a day too late. I'd make sure I was saved. Say it again. There is a heaven, there is a hell. You will spend eternity in one of them. I'd want to live my life for Christ. Look at what He gave for my life. I want to live mine for Him. Yes, when I die, I want to die out living for God. I don't know how you are, but I do. And on my last day, I sure hope that I've done all I can to tell somebody that Jesus saves. Yes. It'd be a sad thing to die and not ever tell my children. Yes. It'd be a sad day to die and never tell my grandbabies. It'd be a sad day to die and never tell anybody you worked with or go to school with. I've done it. I'm afraid. I'm ashamed. I'm closing, I promise. I've mentioned Mark Malt a lot. Mark's in heaven, praise the Lord. Every night on third shift at Freightliner, we'd come in on Sunday night. He knew my life. He knew I... Many times we'll drive a church bus to Freightliner because I'd be so late I had to get to, from taking the kids home to getting straight to work. The Lord put Mark in my life. And every Sunday night he'd be sitting, I can see him. As you walked into the maintenance department, there was two big old transformers as you walked through the little area there and Mark would be sitting on them transformers. I'd go by and say, hey Mark, how you doing? loved his Harley Davidson. He got hurt in church, quit church, been out of church most of his life. God just put him in my life to, I was trying to work myself into him a little bit. We became friends. Man, he was a great guy. He was bigger than John Spade. I mean, John Spade's got muscle. Mark Malt was a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. He went to school on how to be a masseuse. I'd be at my desk working on a program or something, and I'd hear the door open. All of a sudden, I'd feel these big old hands grab around my shoulders, and he'd begin massaging my shoulders. And I mean, he'd just be like butter. I'd say, Mark, did you ride your motorcycle today? Oh, yeah, man. Me and my girlfriend, we went so-and-so. I said, man, what'd you see? And he said, boy, it was so beautiful. He saw this. And I was just befriending him. July 4th weekend came, and I got a phone call from Eric Moore. Because Eric knew I was saved. Eric knew I loved the Lord. Eric Moore was a good man. Still is a good man, as far as I know. Eric Moore allowed me 2 times a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas, to stand up and give the gospel to all those guys in maintenance. Preacher, he could have been fired. He didn't care. Got a phone call from Eric. He says, Anthony, you ain't going to believe it, but they've taken Mark to the hospital. He was at a swimming pool. Him and his girlfriend, a bunch of friends. I'm sure there was stuff happening there that ain't right. He dove in that swimming pool, hit his head on the bottom of the pool, came up, actually got out of the pool, went over there and sat down. Said, I just don't feel good. Something just don't feel good. Sat there a little while, they said, and things got to feeling just a little bit better. So he gets back up and he jumps into the swimming pool one more time. This time he floated to the top. Broke his neck. They rushed him to the hospital in Charlotte. Instantly, what came to my mind, Brother Rick? I'd never ask him. If he was saved. Ask him about his motorcycle. Ask him about his life. But I never ask him if he was saved. I said, oh God, please let him live. I just want one more chance. God worked it out. I went down there one day and it was just me and him. He was on a ventilator. He was paralyzed from the neck down. Only reason he lived was because he was so strong. It severed, I think, all 3 of his cervical spine, 3, 4, and 5. His diaphragm no longer worked, but he had so much muscle mass that he could actually make himself breathe. They put him on a ventilator. He fought pneumonia time and time again. He could talk on the exhale. The machine was breathing. This is what he told me. We had several conversations. The first conversation was about his salvation. I went down there and I'd ask God, please, one more time. I walked in that room and God had opened that door up for just me and him. Because a lot of times I go to talk to somebody and family will be there and never get the opportunity really to witness to them. Sometimes I've been there and doctors and nurses come in and never get the opportunity to witness to them. But that day, God allowed me to walk in that room with a man, muscle man, laying in a bed with a, had put a trach in him, put the ventilator in the trach. That machine sitting there. I walked in, Mark laying there. Took him by the hand and began talking with him. And I was shooting this gun barrel straight. I said, Mark, I've never asked you this, but I got to ask you. I said, I need to know if you're saved or not. Long story short, Him and his girlfriend both got saved that day. God, let me have one more chance to tell that man that Jesus loved him. Time went on. He fought a lot of battles. God, it's amazing how God does this, Brother David. I don't know if he does it for everybody, but he does it to me. A lot of times God will give me insight before the door ever comes there. I knew what was coming. Eric called again and said, Anthony, Mark wants to talk with you. And I said, okay. I knew exactly, Brother Rick, what we were getting ready to talk about. Walked in that room. He says, I got to make a decision. He says, I got to make a decision to leave this thing on or take it off the ventilator. He says, Anthony, he said, I can't even die. This thing here breathes for me. I can't even hold my breath. He says, I got to make a decision. To either keep the ventilator and live and be paralyzed from the neck down the rest of my life, or tell them to unhook me and I'll die quick. Brother Rick, again, God done laid some verses on my heart. Paul said over there he was between a hard place. He said it'd be better for me if I died and went to heaven. Paul said, but for your sake. I looked at him and I said, Mark, I said, God's not done with you. I said, I don't know what God's going to do with you, but if God wanted you dead, you'd already be dead. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what God's going to do with you, but this is what God told me to tell you. He said, that's what I need to know. He chose to live. Time went on. Again, by happenstance, I worked third shift. Mark lived, used to be Blue Bay, I think, in China Grove. Is that China Grove? That used to be a fish house there. Mm-hmm. Now it's a family restaurant. Mm-hmm. Captain's Galley, okay. That road beside of it, if you go out that way a long ways, there's a high school out there on the left, I think. He lives on that road. His daddy and his uncle used to run that gas station there in that V point. Malt was their last name. But just by happenstance, I got off work that morning, called my wife. I said, honey, I'm going to go see Mark. I got off at 6:30 in the morning. So I knew I couldn't go straight there. So I killed some time, got there. And there was a car in the driveway, and I thought, I don't know that car. Go up there, knock on the door. His girlfriend said, come on in. So I come in, and there was a young lady sitting there from one of the newspapers. It had been almost a year from the time that the accident had happened, and the newspaper wanted to do an article on his life and what had changed. Mark said, sit down. So I sat down in a chair. Mark was in his wheelchair. He had one of those wheelchairs where you blow in the straw to make it go. Again, he could talk on the exhale, so it was a little slow on the conversations. Here was a young girl that was as arrogant as Eric can be. Mark Malt, by this time, was no longer a muscle man, because it's amazing how quick a body deteriorates. But Mark Malt, sitting in that wheelchair that day, strapped in because the only thing could move was his head. He sat there and answered this girl's questions. He says, before you go, I got to tell you something. He said, I used to ride a Harley-Davidson motorcycle. He said, I saved up most of my life to buy that thing. It cost me $20,000, I think he said at that time. He said, I used to ride that motorcycle every weekend.
just loved it to death. He couldn't even wipe his own tears. I grabbed tissue and stood there beside my friend and wiped his tears as he's told this young girl this. He said, "I would rather be in this wheelchair saved and on my way to heaven than riding that motorcycle all over this country." Amen. One more thing and I'm done. I didn't know this. I'd actually moved off to Taylorsville pasturing up there. Didn't get to come see Mark much. I got a phone call another day. Said Mark's dead. Said the funeral's set for such and such a date, and he wants you to help in the funeral. And I said, I'd be honored. Ended up at the funeral home, and I knew some of his family. Knew his brother real well. Still see his brother every once in a while. A gentleman walked up to me. Dressed very nicely. I couldn't tell you his name to save my life. Stuck his hand out and said, "I'm so-and-so. And I'm going to be helping you in the funeral today." I said, "Well, great." He says, "Let me tell you something before service starts." He said, "Mark Malk told me he got saved." I said, "Yes, sir. I was able to be part of that and lead him to the Lord. I was there that day." He said, "I know." He said that Mark wanted to go to church, but didn't have a way to church. I don't know how it all worked out, but long story short, Trinity Baptist Church over here in Moxville had a bus that had a wheelchair ramp and everything. He said, "We began getting Mark and bringing him to church." Says one day, Brother Cox was up there preaching and was encouraging people to do something for the Lord. Gave his heart and burden about the bus ministry, and they got a tremendous bus ministry. Bus ministry takes work. We need some workers too. Brother Cox says, "We need some people to get their CDL license so they can drive the bus. We need some people to come and help out and visit for the bus routes, and we just need some help." Said after the service, Mark Malt in his wheelchair made his way down to the front. This is what he said. Again, just talking on the exhale. He said, "Preacher," he says, "I can't help on a bus. Preacher, I can't drive a bus. But preacher, here's some money. I'm going to pay for somebody to get their license so they can go drive a bus." That young man that day stuck his hand out and shook my hand. He said, "I was that man." He said, "Mark bought my bus license so I could go out and drive a bus and bring other people to the Lord." Mark Malt had a last day. He was saved. He was ready to meet the Lord. And he wanted other people to be saved. What if today was your last day? You're going to have a last day. What if today was that last day? Let's stand together.